For those of you tuning into this podcast for the first time, my name is Simon North, and I'm making a little series about my friend Kurt and his pilgrimage walk from Winchester to Canterbury, which he did over a couple of weeks. It's 140 miles. And this episode talks about the energetics of pilgrimage. And by that, we're talking about the energy that surrounds us all the time. And you may know of the resonance of the earth. We do refer to it, the Schumann resonance. But we're talking about energy as consciousness. So lots of people have walked the Pilgrim's Way and other trackways in this country. And it seems to create an energy that you can feel in this place. So there's an energy line, like a ley line. Ley lines connect sacred sites. They go all over the world, all over this country. And they can, when you're in these places, when you're walking along a ley line, it does connect your consciousness and things do happen. Memories come up, feelings come up, and it can open doors for you, all kinds of things. It's a really interesting way of looking at the landscape. So I felt that Kurt would have an energetic experience spending so much time walking on this ancient trackway. What I didn't realize is that experience actually connected to me. So on a certain day on the walk, I think it was day 12, he was walking very near to the Medway county town of Maidstone. Now, I lived in Maidstone as a child for a few years. I have a sister called Sally, and we lived in Blythe Road for a couple of years. And that's all you need to know at this stage. So sit back, let the story unfold. It will stretch your imagination, but believe you me, this actually happened. And it's really quite remarkable, and it is something that will stay with me for the rest of my life. Thank you. So we talked at the beginning about walking along an ancient trackway. We likened that to Aboriginals in Australia walking their song lines. We talked about earth energies and the consciousness that's found in earth energy and the resonance of the earth. And how perhaps all the souls of ancient people who'd walked along this ancient trackway had left their mark energetically. Have you felt that at all along this journey?
Yeah. It's a sensitive thing, as in you need to slow down or stop. And ideally not be doing anything else, no thinking, no talking out loud. And just occasionally, sometimes it will, if you like, energetically slap you or hit you in the sternum or the stomach. And often I stop and I feel, ooh, you know, what's going on here? And sometimes that will lead me to look at the topography, you know, and think about, oh, does it look like there could have been a stop over here, a small village, or, you know, a feeding point, a resting place. Yeah.
And the resonance of the earth is something that we don't tend to feel in our daily lives, but when you go on a long walk on an ancient trackway day after day after day, has that started to then open up a doorway for you?
There's been no sort of sudden moment of feeling like a doorway's being opened. There has been a pretty consistent, regular ebb, if you like, or pulse. Every so many miles, you stop, or the nature stops you, you know, and you are speechless. And you might just take in the ambience of where you are. So I guess really no, not so much a doorway, but it's like resonating with a vibration, and like a spiral coil, you know, like the DNA coil, for example. If if you just let go and walk, there is a kind of symbiosis between your vibration and the vibration of your environment. Not that, as you know, I believe they're completely separate. It's just that, as you know, too much living in the head and the world of thought disconnects you from that vibe.
When you've been pausing along the way, that's often been at churches. I think you said you'd visited over 30 of them along the way. Now, at the moment, you can't really go inside them, but have you felt any particular change in energy when you're around a church, particularly the older ones?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Most of the time, there's no one else there, and it's silent. And all you can hear is the howl of the wind, and maybe some birds tweeting. And it's as if the gravestones are talking to you, you know, and you can almost feel a weight or weights of ancient peoples rising out of the ground to hug you. And there is a certain heaviness with that energy. And I mean in terms of weight, not in terms of mood, positivity, negativity. And of course it's a very, very humbling experience. And I guess that's one of the most prolific moments where you feel as if ancient peoples are talking to you. And just as if to say, winking at you, saying, make the most of this. This is a good moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think I felt, as I bid you farewell after day two, that you were going to have some energetic experiences. You were going to have lots of lovely, normal, you know, wow moments with the nature, looking at it. But I thought you were going to get a felt sense as well, that you were going to pick up on the energy of walking this ancient trackway. Mm. And I thought you would experience something rather profound. But as it's turned out, it's me that's experienced something very unusual. Mm. And it's quite difficult for us to put it into words, really, isn't it? I know we've been trying to do that over the last few days, but there was a particular day when things seemed to align and some quantum entanglement, for want of a better description of it, occurred. So you were walking to Aylesford that day, very near the Medway.
Yeah.
And which was very close to a part of Kent which I know very well because I lived in Maidstone for a few years. And I remember looking at that morning at the route and thinking, oh yeah, I know Aylesford, Aylesford Priory, you know, Snodland was a, you know, name of a place that, you know, I used to remember when I was a kid. And then looking further down that line, you know, going to Charing and Detling and Boxley and all those places, but I remembered them. And I was thinking, oh yeah, I'd love to be there with Kurt today, you know. And then something really incredible happened. I'm going to let you just take on the story, so, you know.
Well, it began rather bizarrely because I walked out of a churchyard, turned left, turned right, stopped at the corner, checked the map, and a guy walked past me. He was sort of late 50s, it seemed. And I saw him and said, oh, hello. And he just looked me in the eye and didn't say anything. And I said, oh, good morning. It's a lovely morning, isn't it? And he didn't say anything. And so in jest, as he walked past, I said, maybe not. And he just walked past me and walked on. And then he turned around for a moment and he said, are you lost? And I said, thank you. No, I'm just looking at the map and just checking a couple of the sites here. He said, oh, okay. And he walked on ahead. So eventually I started walking again. And I, at that point, I was about 100 metres behind him. And then he disappeared over the brow of a hill. And about half an hour later, I decided to stop literally between dwellings in the middle of nowhere. And there were fields to the north, fields to the south, and that was it. And just a hedge road, country lane. And I took my shoes and socks off, and I sat down, got some water. And lo and behold, after a few minutes, he walked back past me. And he started talking to me. And we had a chat. And then he said to me, "So what are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm walking the Pilgrim's Way." And he said, "Oh, right, okay." And he said, and why are you doing that?" And I answered. And I said, "Well, it's interesting as well, because I said a friend of mine called Simon North is making a podcast about it, and he's joining me for sections and then going away and editing them." And he literally said, "Not Simon North from Blythe Road in Maidstone." And I said, I don't know if he was there. He said, "He's got a sister called Sally, right?" And I said, "Again, I don't know, but now you're really freaking me out." I said, "I tell you what, let me drop him a line." So as you know, I said to you, I didn't want to give it all away. So I said, didn't I, "Have you got a sister called Sally?" And you said, "Yes." And I said, "Something amazing's happened. I'm going to make a video of it." Anyway, so I recorded him, as you know, and he said, "Hello, Simon, I believe you used to live at the end of the road, Blythe Road in Maidstone. Am I correct?" And it turns out he's 62. It's called Robert Mason. And he said, "You know, I'm doing fine. Another guy you used to know at school is doing fine." And he said, "If it makes you feel any better, I'm 5'7". And so again, I was thinking, he knows a lot about Simon. I think this is the real Simon. And lo and behold,
yeah,
it was true.
It was true. And so I lived in Blythe Road in Maidstone for a couple of years. And Robert, as I knew him then, Robert Mason was one of my best friends. The other guy he mentioned, Ian Payne, also lived up our road, and we were all friends. We were like 9, 10 years old, out riding our bikes, going around each other's houses, you know, just doing what normal 9, 10 year olds do. I moved across town, and in those days you didn't necessarily keep in touch with people that you weren't at school with, and so I lost touch with Robert and have not thought about him until this occurrence happened with you. And if you hadn't said Simon North, it never would have happened. So it all turned on a few words, didn't it? And it's made me realise how important the words are we send out into the universe,
because yes,
they can make things happen for us. So that all happened, and that's mind-blowing. But what's also mind-blowing is that my sister Sally, who was mentioned by Robert Mason at virtually the same time you were meeting up with him in another part of the country, she was visiting somewhere I'd been with her and my great uncle
In Suffolk,
yeah. And she happened to find a picture of me and send it to me, of when I was 9, 10 years old, and when I knew Robert Mason, and so when I told Sally this, it just defies belief. And so, you know, we've tried to sort of rationalise it, and there are a few other little occurrences around it which I'm not going to go into, but there are a few other little things also around this story that all point to the fact that there is a consciousness that is everywhere, and if some people are thinking certain things at certain moments, connections can be made. And it's what Einstein called quantum entanglement, which is something you've studied.
The whole coming together, I love it when a tangible life experience, shall we say, is commensurate with what scientific theory proposes, you know. So, yeah, from Heisenberg's uncertainty principle to Schrodinger's cat, the work of Niels Bohr, Einstein, Podolsky and Rosen, and so on. And, I mean, at this stage in the game, I'm 52 now, I'm way beyond the point of being in denial. you know, and something I liked about that story with Bob is that it truly is quite incredible. A couple of simple facts, you know, he knew you over 50 years ago, 52 years ago, point one, right? Point two, I worked out that approximately, 0.001 people in this country walk the Pilgrim's Way. Point three, I've been walking for 115 miles by that point. And point four, if it had been 10 seconds earlier or 10 seconds later, I would never have bumped into him. You know, and those numbers, if you like, those odds are astoundingly, infinitesimally small. However, of course, in terms of global consciousness, if you want to use that phrase, the numbers don't mean anything. It's always switched on.
Yeah, I said to my sister, she said, oh, that's a coincidence. I said, no, it isn't. It's absolutely not a coincidence. That's impossible. It cannot be a coincidence. It's just some confluence of the place, energy that I left in the place, you picking that up, him going out for a walk the same time that you were there. There's something coming together, some consciousness coming together that caused this moment of freakishness to happen. And it's absolutely fascinating. I actually said to Sally, there'd be more chance of me telling you right now the winning lottery numbers than this happening. And I think that's true. You know, that's 9 million to 1. And
there's a beautiful black and white collie dog running towards us.
There is.
And I've got to say, hey fella.
No, not interested.
No,
he's on the trail of something.
Too much nature to enjoy.
Yeah, he's on a pilgrimage.